Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I think he looks real good. I think he's playing very well. I don't think he's had a bunch of clean lanes. I think he had a couple versus, when I say a couple, I actually mean two versus Tampa. And he hits those two, which maybe is just half a step off just with seeing it. But you hit those two, and it'll completely change yards per carry, which will look better from an outside perspective, but it won't change anything in actually what's happening. So to sit here and talk like he's struggling, not going to do that at all. But for us to be disappointed that he's not exactly how he was or just right in MVP form, that'd be unfair to anybody.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Mo Neal, Jake Hutchinson, Dan Avone. Low dancing as we come into the break. Jake actually giving the head nod.
Yeah, Jake, you know, we're feeling it, man. He got that California know how to party, baby.
Hey. Jake Hutchinson, by the way, a Jersey guy. So don't think this kid's just coming light with some, I'm a California guy.
I love Jake, man. Jake's my guy.
Strong Jersey roots here, man.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So Jersey, folks. Did you have any Paisan in you, or you're just...
Well... Not really, but you grew up around enough Italian people that you sort of take on the culture a little bit.
Yeah.
What I miss most is you got the pizza there and then you got the bagels.
The pie.
Nobody does bagels out here the right way. They need to be the size of a small child.
Or you can't get a bagel in California and you can't get a pizza slice. Lo, I don't care what you say. There's no one that will duplicate a New York slice. I don't know if it's the water out there or what's going on.
See, I don't like the big, thick pies. I don't like,
New York's thin. Chicago's got that thing that's a casserole.
Yeah.
It's a good casserole, but it is a casserole.
You're Boston, New York. It's pissa. It's wicked cool. I spent some time up there in the Cape, baby. I was out there for a while in the Big Apple.
When I see you dancing,
sweet.
I'm thinking about you back in your Fresno State
days. Oh, boy, you wasn't ready for the percolator, baby.
Closing down the Black Angus.
Closing down Willikers and Black Angus, baby. They call me the percolator, baby. When I start perking, that coffee get black, baby. They're percolator. Too much, Jake? Right. Too soon?
No, okay. Never too much. Okay. Never too much.
Let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm at a loss for words when we're talking about how we got here, because let's just keep where we started things and keep in mind that this is a team that was expected to go to a Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl or bust. And again, as we sit here and try and figure out what's wrong, I can't find anything that you can point a finger at and all of us being sort of on the same page. Here's how I see it, Jake. I think that you're seeing a lot of teams that are doing what it is that the 49ers are doing offensively. And that's what happens, Lo, when you get, when you're doing something effectively, because it's been Kyle Shanahan sort of on the top of that mountain, right? He's been the most innovative coach the last 3 to 5 years in the NFL. Take nothing away from Sean McVay and the Kevin O'Connells of the world, but it's been pretty much Sean McVay and everybody else.
And I got Andy Reid on the phone.
Who's that?
I got Andy Reid on the phone.
Well, Andy Reid's got Mahomes. Andy Reid doesn't need to get innovative. Andy Reid will just say, Mahomes, go win me some games. As Mahomes does when Carolina and everybody else starts to, you know, make their buttocks get a little tight. Mahomes, take his home. You know what I mean? You got Mahomes. But when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, and you know this, when you're dominating the league, you get these weird people called DCs, defensive coordinators, who lock themselves in a room for 14 hours a day and don't see the light of day until they figure out what the hell it is that you're doing. And I think they've closed the gap, because now what you're seeing is that more offenses are doing what it is that Kyle Shanahan's doing. And so what does that mean? It means that the defenses now have an idea. When you come out in those formations, I'm not exactly sure.
No, you're right.
I have an idea that there's going to be a tendency as to where it is that you're going with the football. It's
already happening. I think last year, you've seen defensive coordinators start dictating the terms. Offensive scoring has been down. It's been tougher for offenses. And you see, I mean, you just look at the amount of coaches Kyle has lost. A lot of those guys, you got McDaniel, you got Bobby Slowik calling plays. You know, Robert Saleh had Mike LaFleur for a while. There's a lot of that tree and other guys that came from Sean McVay that are all running sort of similar things, and defenses have looked at how to attack it. And I think for the 49ers, they've had a real, real problem. Teams have stacked the box against them, and they've run tight man coverage, and the 49ers receivers haven't been able to beat it. And then when they get into third and medium, third and longs, they bring pressure off of one side, they overload it, and then Brock Purdy has to throw hot, which is usually a short throw, and he's under pressure immediately because the 49ers either don't have the right protection or they just don't have enough guys. And so teams have figured that out, and the 49ers have not had answers for that all season long. And then on the basic stuff, they just haven't executed well enough.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that any time a team brings a hot, you have a side adjustment that the receiver can do. I don't think necessarily you can stop it. Tom Brady was one of the best at that. If you blitzed him, you were in trouble. He was going to carve you up if you came after him, because there's holes and there's weaknesses in the defense. You have to have a receiver that's able to beat man coverage and do the things you need to do, especially in hot reads. Wes Walker wasn't a 4.6, 4.7 guy, played with me the Chargers. Here's a guy that you ran up to an option route. Boom, boom. He'd beat you. You saw the way they were able to do it. They were just on the same page. When teams start to evolve and understand what you're doing, you can't be right when your team play you man and it's option route, it's read. You can't be right as a defender, because if you take away the outside, he's going to go inside. If you take away the inside, he's going to go outside. So you have to have a receiver receivers that can help you beat coverage, especially when they're bringing some heat. And you got to beat them you got to beat them with the ball, and you got to be on the same page. The Niners aren't on the same page. They're not on the same page, and they can't win right now in the trenches. Bottom line, offensive and defensive, you're losing in the trenches. Gave up 150, 160 yards the other day. One back out of 100. That you watched them against Arizona. Arizona, you're up by 2 points. Arizona took the ball in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left. You're winning by two, and they ran down their throat. The Rams had missed tag offensive line. Guys were out. Both your receivers were out, and you lost that game. Kyle Shanahan said, there's three games. Listen at that clip. He cut it up. And I was like, listen. And I said, what am I going to pull away from this? Out of everything, I know he talked about he doesn't watch social media, and the only thing he's doing that for the movies. I took out of there. He said, there's three games. Three games we should have won. Three games we felt that we lost that we should have won. And I tell you what those games are. Seattle, can I get a ding-ding? I wish my man was back to work. Give me a ding for Seattle. Can I get a bell for Seattle? Boom. And then you talk about the Rams.
Yep.
He said the Rams. I guarantee it was the Rams, because they played with four offensive line guys that were on the street and without two receivers, both starting receivers, and they lost. Can I get a yep too on that one? And then the last one would be Arizona.
So you lost, blown and producing.
Those three games, yep. That's what he's – hell yeah, there we go. Can I get a yep, yep? Those are the three games you know that he's talking about.
No
talk
question.
To me, Gotti.
No,
talk
no,
to me.
No question. And I think that's something where you can point to three plays. They said it, and I think the 49ers said it before this last week, is, you know, they were three plays away from beat 8-2. Well, you didn't execute on those three plays, so you're not 8-2. And also, to even have it get to the point where those three plays decide the game, it means you didn't execute in a number of other ways. And also, this is your identity. You keep doing the same thing over and over, and you let teams get back into the game, and you don't, you know, stomp on them and just finish. That's who you are. I'm sorry. You can be that close, but you don't finish. I don't care. Like, you got to get the job done. They have not done it.
Those three games, you know that. They didn't win those three games, and those three teams.
Dude, I know nothing except what you tell me. I write down everything that comes out of your mouth, Mary. You're the gospel. All right. We'll open up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. We'll start it with Larry in Lafayette, wants to go after the head coach of the Niners. What's up, Larry?
Well, I was just really disappointed after the game, the first game of the year, when Jordan Mason had his career game. He was really pumped up. They took him on an on-the-field interview, and he accidentally told people that Shanahan knew on Friday night that that McCaffrey was out. And then you see his post-game interview inside the building, and he has dead eyes. Somebody tore into him for letting that information out just because the 49ers were playing with the injury report. That kind of thing is indicative of someone who doesn't give a damn about his players. And I just think it's kind of sad because he just doesn't seem to be an excellent leader of men. He's a great football mind. Can't deny that. I just think he has something lacking to get him over that last hump.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I have to disagree on that. He doesn't care about the players. I think one of the things that players really value about Kyle Shanahan is that he is straight up with them and that he's not a coach that tends to just scream and yell just for the sake of it. He is a modern head coach who explains things, explains what he's looking for. I think Jordan Mason is a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve in that sense, and he also knew he screwed up. And then the media, you know, put out there that, you know, McCaffrey was out, and it's such a big deal because of betting and who McCaffrey is and what that all means and all the stuff that could happen, and he knows he wasn't supposed to say it. I think that's where that was coming from. I can take other criticisms of Kyle Shanahan. There's many things that I think he has flaws with, but in terms of caring about his players and players buying in, I don't think that's a fair critique.
Yeah, he doesn't sell his guys out. Kyle Shanahan loves these guys. Actually, I'm not going to say he loves them too much. I think that he'll cave and give guys money, which they maybe shouldn't give them money, because he wants to show that, hey, we're different. We're an organization that's going to take care of our players. Hey, even if your better years behind you, if you're one of the guys, we're going to take care. And sometimes coaches hold on to guys too long. Sometimes coaches don't hold on to guys long enough. It's hard to say goodbye. Look at Tom Brady, what happened in New England. Belichick turned the page. And it was tough, and Tom went on to win another Super Bowl and probably could have won another one, had a chance to win two of them in Tampa Bay. So sometimes coaches just say, I have to do what I need to do in order for the good of the organization. And it's tough because I don't blame the players for getting their cake and getting their chicken and getting their money while they can, because it happens. And I think right now you're in a situation where John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they want this team and these guys to know, we're going to treat you like family. We're not going to disrespect you. And I don't think that you can – it's not disrespect if you say, look, I love you as a player. I love what you brought to the table, but we're going to turn the page because it doesn't fit. We can't make this work with the money that you want. It just doesn't work. Not that we don't think you deserve it. Not that we don't think that you're good enough to get it on the market, but we can't do it because – it goes against us as a collective group that it would hurt the good of the team. And I think that's what you're getting ready to experience from the 49ers.
I do think that they have a philosophy about rewarding their top guys. And they've made that clear that if you are a top guy for us, we will take the time and we will pay you and we will make it as painful as possible. And we will drag it out deep into the offseason, which benefits nobody. But they will take their time and they will eventually get a top of market deal done. And that's what happened with Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk didn't handle it well. They didn't handle it well. But that was a situation where I think because of that philosophy of them viewing Ayuk as a top guy, which I agree with. I think he is, and last year was a top 10 receiver, and he was starting to round into form. But because they paid him, now they're in a situation where they paid him, they paid Debo, they paid other guys in free agency, and now you get into a situation where money gets tight, and you're probably going to have to pay your quarterback something like $60 million if you want to extend him. And that's what happens when sometimes maybe you should say, all right, play on your fifth-year option. We're done negotiating, or we'll trade him.
Do you think he's going to get 60 on the market?
If they're going to repay him, yes. That's the going rate. But again, and we could talk about this, I think that you have to consider, I'm not necessarily saying do this, but what's wrong with saying, you know what, let me just see another year. Before I give you $60 million per and tie my...
Whether you want to,
bye, bye, bye,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Myself, you know, hitch my wagon to you. How about just another year before I'm completely confident and arrive at that decision? I know there's a lot that we can, you know, and we'll get into that. One more thing, we'll just put a bow on Kyle Shanahan. But Kyle Shanahan, everybody, this gets thrown around casually, like the player's coach. I think that's exactly what he is. And that's not something that you can try to be. It's just either you garner that respect or you don't.
Right.
And I think he gets that X factor. And the fact that he chewed Jordan Mason's ass, that was one of my favorite moments. Because you could clearly see that Mason afterwards was like a kid. The caller's spot on. He's not right about, you know, Kyle Shanahan, but he was spot on about Jordan Mason looked like a guy that dad just said, bent him over and said, don't ever do that again. And that's one thing about Kyle Shanahan that I think maybe he gets from his old man. He's got a little old school in him.
He's prickly. He gets grumpy and he lets you know.
And as much as he's a player's coach, I think that when you screw up, he's not afraid to get in your grill. And I think that that's an interesting balance that you don't see a lot of today's coaches, because they either don't want to alienate today's stars or they're just simply afraid. There's two things I wanted to ask you. Your best and worst coach, if you even want to go there.
Yeah, it's so interesting because that's a great question. I have some great coaches. I mean, there was a coach that I think that the way that he philosophized and the things that he did, there's a book that I read, Just Lead for God's Sakes, and it was one, there's a bag full of money and there's a hatchet. And I can tell you, go do this and I'm going to give you this, get money. Or you go make up your bed, money. Go do this and get money. Or you can use what lead with the hatchet. If you don't do this, I'm going to whoop you. If you don't do this, you're getting the hatchet. If you don't get this is the this is what's happening, that fear factor. These both work temporarily, but not permanently. If you can't get the mind and the heart to buy in, the hatchet money and the hatchet and the bag of money doesn't work. And so some coaches coach with the hatchet and money. If you do this, attaboy, boom, boom, boom. Those two things don't work. You got to be able to get the heart and the mind if you want total buy-in in anything you do. Tony Dungy was the guy who didn't use the hatchet or the money or the bag of money. It was trying to get you. He wasn't going to cuss you, wasn't going to yell at you, wasn't going to do that. He's going to treat you like a man. But if you didn't do what's right, you wouldn't be there the following year, or you wouldn't be there. So that's one. Bill Parcells was that guy hucking and bucking, be in your face, and you know, and tough and get on you. And some guys can respond to that, and some guys don't work well to that. Had another guy that was, you know, Jim Mora, just in your face, bully dude, and just aggressive, and just, but the sweetest man, if you know him, he's a great. So you just have to know the guys you deal with and have to understand as a coach, who are the players? Because all those methods can work, the hatchet and the money, but it only works temporarily, and you don't, it's not sustainable. So I just think that I've had, you know, Dick LeBeau, unbelievable coach, just too nice. Unbelievable coach. He was in his 80s, you know, defensive coordinator. An unbelievable guy, but it was in Cincinnati as a head coach, wasn't because guys took advantage of his kindness. So I've had a lot of great coaches. Marty Schottenheimer, unbelievable, tough, physical, but man had a heart of gold. So there's a bunch of coaches in different styles, but it's the individual. It's predicated on the individual, that coach. If he wants to lead, how does he tend to lead? And he has to know the guys who he's dealing with to have success.
Were you on that Mora team when he was talking about playoffs?
That was in Indianapolis. I was with him in New Orleans.
Oh, I thought that was from New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. That's when he just quit on the team, walked out on the meeting and said, I'm done.
What was that day like?
Hell, like, well, your head coach just, and then we had Rick Ventura was the interim coach. You're talking about on Monday, you come in after a game, you come into a team meeting. So the first thing you do on Monday is you come in as a team meeting. Everyone comes into me and your head coach comes up there and just starts talking about the game and they say, guys, I'm just going to tell you, you know what? It's tough. It's tough to win in this league. It's tough to coach in this league. It's tough. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, love you, man, but I'm out. And quit. Walks out the back door. And it was like, what the
heck? Where was this?
New Orleans. With the Saints.
Did you think he was doing a bit at first?
We didn't know what to think.
And so who came in?
When the guy said, who's going to be the coach? I stood up and said, I'm going to be the head coach. No, but I guess they already had talked about it. Rick Ventura was the defensive DC. They just put him in as the interim coach.
You just go right into the install after that?
Yes. He talked to you for a little bit. Guys, he gave us a great speech. Talked about the Vikings, how when they would go to a different place, wherever they would go, they would burn up their ships. They would come to a place and they would burn up their ships saying, they're not quitting. They're not giving up. They're saying, we're coming to this land and we're going to conquer. That's what the Vikings do. He said, guess what, men? We're going to burn our ships. We're not going to quit. We're going to turn this thing around. I think the next week we lost 52-0. But anyways, that's what happened.
It's a good speech, though.
Yeah, it's great. It was a great speech. We didn't lose that bad. Yeah. It was a great speech.
But to your point, just to loop around, I think when you talk about the modern head coach, and even when Kyle was talking about modern players, you got Gen Z guys who come up, and especially we talked about a little bit off air, the NIL stuff, and all these different things that are changing really rapidly. And players have a lot more agency in college, and players expect more. And so I think some of that old school stuff doesn't really work as well. And so a coach like, you know, Mike McDaniel, who's a laid back guy, he's got a funky, you know, sarcastic disposition, that wouldn't have worked, you know, 15 years ago. No. As a head coach, he wouldn't have even been considered. But because he's so honest and direct, and he's a teacher who says, if you block, this is what will happen, and shows the tape of it, and players understand, you get that buy-in, and it's the thing you're talking about. It's the heart and the mind.
Yeah, and that's why you look at Detroit. You had Dan.
Who thought that was going to work?
But look at him. He's a guy.
I know, man, but that press conference, come on, man.
Oh, yeah. But he's tough, and the guys believe.
Dan Campbell is who we're talking about.
Yeah, because he's in guys' face, but they know that he loves them. See, you got to realize, when your mom tells you, back in the day growing up, because I know you was bad, and your mom would tell you, hey, get over here. And she would tell you, hey, can I go? He'd say, ask your dad. You know how it is. And we're like, God, do I want to ask my dad? Think about how guys are with moms. Well, not that we don't love them, not that we don't respect them, but you have to fear also. You have to have a little bit of fear, and that's what the difference is with dad. You go ask dad. You can go spend a night, but go ask dad. I was like, man, I'm not even. And sometimes I wouldn't even ask my dad because I knew his answer would be, or can I go somewhere? No, because I knew dad. So if you just have someone at times that just like, hey, look, they're going to let you get away with it, guys will push. Guys will continue to push. Sometimes you got to have that balance. I understand Gen Z, but you got to still have that balance. And I think Dan Campbell does a great job of that balance. He push, but he still respects. He still loves, but he's still hard. And you got to be able to do that because we are athletes, man. We're different. We're built different. We're tough. We want, you know, and we'll take advantage of certain situations. So you do have to have some type of control, because if you don't, it's very easy to lose an NFL team.
You
got
to have that respect.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's sort of the operative word here, because respect isn't something that you just go out and get or want to have.
It's earned.
It's one of those things that you either, you know, it's either there or it's not. I think McDaniel, to your point, Jake, is, to me, he tries a little too hard. Like, he's trying to be Gen Y, or he's trying to be, you know, in vogue with today's players. And to me, it's a little obvious. And I think Kyle Shanahan, you just got to be who you are at the end of the day.
I think that is who McDaniel is. There's just no one else that's like him, is the thing. So, I mean, I only say that as somebody who talked to him in press conferences, and you're like, oh, no, you think he's just quirky. Doing a bit. And I think Odell Beckham was like, what is wrong with this guy? The first couple weeks he was with him, and then you realize, oh, that's who he is. But it does come off weird, especially if you're unfamiliar with him.
Got to have a great assistant coaches. Guys that are going to be that way, those coaches better make sure that they hire great assistant coaches to manage. Because you, some coaches, I think that one coach you probably would know, and I think unbelievable offensive mind, one of the best, is Norv Turner. Norv Turner was not a leader of men. He was one of the worst head coaches because he had no backbone, because he wouldn't hold guys accountable, because that's who Norv Turner is. Not that he doesn't want to, but that's why Norv could never, ever win as a head coach, because he didn't have that bravado in that way to be a head coach. Wasn't a leader of men, but he was a hell of an offensive coordinator. Knows X's and O's better than probably a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
God, he had some good teams.
Yes.
My goodness. Never got to that Super Bowl, though.
That part.
All right. We're going to continue here. Luke, do we want to play a little Kyle Shanahan going out? All right. We'll come back with a little Kyle. So tell me, am I reading Warriors Wednesday to go to the break?
Oh, okay. I love this.
Warrior, come on, man. We forget
the best.
Hey, just give me a bell or a yes for the... Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 20 minutes too late, but we're good.
Yes, give us the bell.
Give me another bell on this read. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freed Appliances in Pleasant Hill today. We'll be back. Lorenzo Neal. It's Jay Cutchison. It's Dan Devone on 95.7 The Game.